Good morning, church. As the offering is circulating around, I'm going to have my friend Mike Masters come. We're going to do a little interview time. This is like Mission Sunday for me, at least. Over here, we have my beautiful friends over here that we are going to be sending away to Uruguay. We're going to have a time of prayer for the Acevedo family here in a little bit. And good morning, man.
Good morning, good man. How you doing?
I know, we've been like ships in the wind right now, but we're going to be sending them off to their, we won't say final resting place, but we'll say off to their mission there in Uruguay coming up in just a little bit. And then over someplace else, well, back here, we have the Hauensteins that we're going to, I'd like to have you guys up at the end of the service as well. We'll pray for you guys. This will be our last time seeing them as well as they head off to their place of mission over there in the Middle East, and just the sending the family off to their home and their workplace and all that is we love to hear about how things are going on there. But this guy right here was on my very first overseas mission trip. All right, so back in '96, it was the first time that Mike and I were able to travel together. We had gotten to know each other a little bit.
Could we introduce my wife? I mean, without her, I'm nothing.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm here with, I'm so thankful to be here, first of all, and for this interview and to be able to share with you today. And yes, Eric and I go way back to the 90s, but my lovely wife Sharon is here, who this congregation at her time of need just came around her a long time ago and just really ministered to her. So I just want to thank you for that, and she's here today. There's my lovely wife Sharon.
Good to have you back, Sharon. So Mike Masters at that time was working with Youth for Christ way back in the day, and then he became a youth pastor back, what was that, 2000s, or I don't even know what year.
Started as youth pastor in 93, went to Youth for Christ in 95, 96, and then transitioned back to youth pastor.
All right. And then after that, you had, I remember being with you on kind of those days that you were really being called by God into something brand new, fresh, something that God had probably been prompting on your heart for quite a while, but he called you out of youth ministry and into?
Still in ministry. We're all in ministry, okay? Everybody's in ministry wherever you're at. But specific ministry became cross-training football, which you see up there is now cross-training athletics. And we started right here, just a couple streets over at Sweet Home High School, with Coach Fowler, who just passed away. And he allowed us to come in and bring biblical principles through character to his football team. And we were just going to be football, but when football season ended, we only had four teams. The basketball coach embraced us, so all of a sudden we turned to cross-training athletics. But we held on to football until about 2012. And now it's just we work with every sport, from golf to bowling in cross-training athletics. So it doesn't matter the sport.
It's not a far leap from golf to bowling, though.
No, not a far leap, but a very far leap from bowling to football.
All right, there you go. All
right, very big leap from there to there, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so God has been using, and give us some scope as to what this looks like. You know, so for now, you said in what year,
2005,
it's been a long run.
We just celebrated our 14th anniversary, August 18th, we started in 2005. So I do have a couple slides here to help us out. And so basically there's five branches of cross-training athletic right now. And you can read them up. There's cross-training athletics, inside-out schools, Big Five Character Awards, STARS, Mrs. Kaz, that's your son's strength, the STARS. He loves to work with those little kids in our after-school program. And then Courageous Leadership Academy. In 1990, I was head football coach at Cheektowaga Central. I brought Christ out of the campus that year, and a lot of cool things happened. I didn't know I was breaking the law, but I found out later I was, and they released me. And then we now have a vision statement for this, and I'll get to it in a second. But we try to reach coaches and athletes, give them a chance of Christ, to give them a chance to make an informed decision to become a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ, become a born-again believer. That's our statement is, so the Son of Man come to seek and save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. And now, okay, this is really cool. That was 1990. This is a 2018 Christmas picture at Cheektowaga. They released me in 1990, And 6 years ago, they brought me back to start to teach again in the school, character education. Can you say the grace of God? Can you say miracle? Yeah, amen. We should clap that up. That is a big, huge thing. So they released me in 90, and 20 years later, in 2010, I started to work with the football teams. 4 years later, they asked me to start teaching classes, and I said, do you know who you're talking to? You released me. The guy said, I don't know about that. He goes, I wasn't here then, but I know that we need this character stuff in here. And the cool thing is the principal knows it's biblically based, but he understands that we can share it in a way that his kids are touched, ministered to, and taken to a better level in their life. He understands that character is really important. We will start our 7th year this year here, once again, with character. And that was our candy cane giveaway with our Leadership Academy. Every kid in the school, when they came in the week of Christmas, the week before Christmas, got a candy cane. The kids were so excited. Next year, they want to do it in the middle school. They want to do it in the elementary school. But the whole thing is servant leadership. Leaders don't come to be served, but to serve and give their life and their talents for others. I think Jesus did that.
Let me break in here a second.
Go ahead.
I'm sitting on a phone call with Mike maybe a year or so ago, and we just kind of catching up, and Mike's like, listen, Eric, you just need to meet me over here. I'm like, meet you over where? I have a place over here at Cheektowaga High School, Cheektowaga Central. I said, really? I hadn't really been up on enough of that. So I go and meet him at the high school, and you walk through the hallways. I've shared this with you guys a little bit some time ago, but as you walk through the hallways, there's character. All through the hallways. Mike Master, well, God's Prince, is Amen. All through the hallways. At every door, they have these character things going on, character awards, and like, man, oh man, it was, as you said, it was from ashes to glory.
Amen.
And it's just amazing how God. Amazing. So tell me some schools that you are in.
Right now, here, we'll take a look up here. That's Clarence Central, but right now, this fall, our staff will be speaking to 40 teams, and we'll have a campus imprint on 35 campuses from Jamestown to Lewiston, Porter, and in between. That's our campus imprint.
That's pretty amazing. That's an incredible influence. So
yeah,
what does this look like? You step in.
Right.
You're teaching the Bible, but you're not using scripture
references.
References.
We don't use the reference. We use scripture verses like, do all things without murmuring and complaining, and you'll shine like a star in the universe. Okay? So that this year's theme, we're really excited, it's be fearless. So the first thing that we say is like, our theme this year, guys, is be fearless, and there is no fear in love. That's the foundational statement. So every kid this year, right off the bat, the first thing he gets is 1 John 4:18. Every talk we do, we are trying to embed that into their heart that they understand there's no fear in love. And we take it right from there. So all of our talks are biblically based, and it's all based around Luke 2:52, that Jesus grew in stature, wisdom, and in favor with God and man, the complete athlete. So the four parts of the total athlete, it's with a heart that you believe, that's the spiritual aspect. Whatever you, as a person thinks in their heart, so they are, that's the mental aspect of all of us. Not only athletes, every student I work with gets the same thing. Love one another deeply from the heart, which comes from 1 Peter, that's the social aspect. And then the last aspect is whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. And I can't say as unto the Lord, okay, all right, not unto men. But we're giving them that piece of a scripture verse that, you know what, this is what a total person looks like. And if you're missing any one part of that, you're incomplete. You're incomplete. Because the Bible says, and this was, we do give them this one straight up. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:9 that a person of integrity lives securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. The word integrity comes from the word integer, which means whole number. So if you're not complete, you will be found out. It's not if, but when. Right. So that's the...
So this kind of sounds strange, I think, for some of us. I mean, it sounds very Christianese to some extent, but it's not. Because
no.
All these kids, they're completely non-biblically founded. They're taking these things in, and they're responding to you, right?
I mean, right.
You're not in 40 right. or 35 schools for nothing. Right.
Right. So here's we teach classes at Lockport, fourth grade. And can I tell you, folks, what's happening because our young people are crumbling on the inside. They're crumbling. And so we are able to teach biblical principles to give them hope. But the bottom line is they're crumbling so much the state knows about, they're mandating health education. We are right now in the midst of our graphic artists is graphic artisting our health, mental health education curriculum called Rising Stars. 16 lessons biblically based on how to overcome offenses, how to overcome adversity. What does real diversity look like? What does it look like? Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the diversity we have. And you have a gift plan, you have a gift in you, and there's a plan and a purpose for your life, not to harm you, but to give you hope in your future. Those are the verses that they will get when it comes to diversity. And so we're putting that together right now because there's not a curriculum basically out there that the schools can even go to. So the principal at Cheektowaga says is, if you can put this in written form, he goes, Mike, you'll be almost anywhere you want to be in Western New York. So we're really, because it's mandated by the state that they have some sort of mental health education. We're going like, yes, we know the best health education you can get. It's called Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at the person next to you and say, this is good news.
All right, so we'll be hearing more from Mike in a few moments.
We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of glory. He is the only way to heaven through Christ and Christ alone. Hallelujah. So I had something put up here really quick because you say, well, do you ever share the gospel? I mean, you go out there and you share all these biblical verses to kids, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to put that one slide up there. This summer in 2019, over 190 athletes and 10 coaches prayed to receive Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can we give it up for the Lord Jesus Christ for that? Keep that right there for a moment. That slide is, I am sharing the gospel at the New Era Fieldhouse, or the Ralph Wilson Fieldhouse, whatever you want to call it. This past winter, in the wintertime, we saw over 160 athletes, coaches, and parents come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because we clap it up for that. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our focus, everything we do, is to try to build relationships so we have a chance to share Jesus Christ. That's it. Yes, we're on campus giving biblical scripture verses, and that's really important because the Bible says that they'll know the truth and the truth will set them free. And the world's lying to our kids a lot, like everywhere they turn. So we come to bring truth. We come to bring light. That's what we do when we get on campuses. And so today, though, I come to encourage you. I hope that's an encouragement to you right there. Bottom line, you can remove that now. But today, repentance, setbacks into comebacks. Now, I believe the scripture, okay? So I believe that there's power or death in the life of the tongue, and you'll eat the fruit of it. So I might ask you to say some things to one another. Why? Because I believe there's power in that. And when you do, and we pray, and we speak with positiveness, and we speak with God's words, okay, I believe there's a blessing in that. So look at the person next to you right now. Look him right in the eye and say, Jesus Christ, turn setbacks into comebacks. Okay, make sure you have a partner when you do this. So there's a partner right there for you. If you want to move your seat and sit next to each other, it'd be really good. You know, we are in the church, and you know what? Getting next to another brother is good. All right, two are better than and we get a better return for our reward when we have that. I know it's woman, husband, and wife, but it's also man and man. Because iron sharpens iron. As one person sharpens another and brings their countenance up to more life, right? Brings life on them. So yes, I will be excited when I'm preaching today. Why? Because I'm preaching about the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, who rescued us from our stinking sin. Hallelujah to Jesus. We need to be excited for him. Look at the person next to you and say, we have the answer. And that's Christ. That's the answer. Hallelujah. Okay, where's the clock? There it is. Okay, I really got to hustle. I know I just started, but I got to hustle. Because I got a lot of good stuff to give you today. I really do. And it's not me giving it to you. So I want to share one thing really quick. So Eric and I are on a missions trip, right? We're in Holland. First one really good. Second one even went better. Third one, I kind of took a little bit of a nosedive. Because I stopped. I forgot about the love of God when I was preaching. I was giving them the word, but I wasn't sharing how much Jesus loved them. You can get very cynical sometimes, and you can see things that are bad, and then you want to just whack them a little bit. God doesn't do that. And so I wanted to connect with them, and you know, as best I could. And So I thought I'd do something really clever. I'd learn some Dutch, right? So that would connect with them. You speak their language, and that'd be really cool, right? So I'm sharing a great message, and lives are still touched when we're there, because God, apart from me, is going to work anyway, because he loves his people. He loves his creation. So I thought I'm going to be really slick, right? And so I learned Dutch. I learned John 14:6 in Dutch, okay? Or John's, 14:6. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So I get to the key moment. Now I'm going to go into Dutch, right? So I share it with them. People come to know Christ. Eric probably knows the story. He's smiling already, right? So afterwards, Ari, who's like 6'5", comes up to me, puts his arm around, he goes, "Mikey." I go, "Yeah, Ari, what?" He goes, "Good message. People got saved." He says, "But one problem." "What?" He goes, "You told them that Jesus was the way to the mall." Yeah. Just stick with English, okay? So I had an interpreter. It would have been okay. So anyway, that's a true story, by the way. And Ari is so nice. He's the only guy that can call me Mikey beside my grandmother. All right. But you can do it if you want now, because I'll just take it to the cross. You can't offend me. We get so offended so quickly now, don't we? People get so offended because they don't know they can go to the cross. And he took all our offenses. And what did he say? "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." So if you call me Mikey, I'll just say they don't know what they do. We've got to make you smile a little bit here. So today we're going to talk about, let's see, why do I have page one? Okay, good. Let's go to page one instead of page two. We'll start there. Like I said, I'm honored and privileged to be here. And what I want to do, if you can put up that first slide, 1 Corinthians 5. Great, excellent. You know what we're talking about today? We're going to talk about repentance, turning your setback into a comeback. I found out one thing, that everyone here is fighting a battle I don't know about. How do you treat that person? Be patient, be kind, love is a choice. Everybody's fighting something, and everybody's had some sort of a setback. How do we get the comeback? It's a mind change. It's repentance. Repentance is a good word. It's a great word. It turns despair. When you're looking at despair and you repent and you turn to Christ, you get hope. I don't know about you, but I need hope. Our world needs hope. Repentance is a great thing. But the greatest comeback to start out with today is this one right here. "For I delivered you to first all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins." This is the greatest setback that turns into a comeback. I don't know about you, the disciples are probably going, "What was going on?" And that he was buried. And then he rose again the third day, according to scriptures, that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. That is the greatest setback that turned into the greatest comeback. I want to pray right now before we go any farther. Heavenly Father, I come before you. Holy Spirit, please come. I know you're here because you live within us, but come in a powerful way. Lord, we don't need information today. We need transformation and impartation. Lord, impart to us today what each and every person you want them to hear. Take it right to their heart. Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're going to do today. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, today, to have a comeback, though, you need to have courage. You need to have faith. Today you're going to get an opportunity, okay? This is going to take courage, going to have faith. Today you're going to have an opportunity to make a personal, all right, a personal public profession as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The only way you can have a comeback is to put him dead center. He has to be dead center. As soon as you, I love coming to Amherst Baptist. It's the biggest cross in town. It's awesome, okay? You should just get excited walking through the doors in this place. We got the biggest cross around, okay? I mean, it's awesome, and it's all at the cross. And as soon as you take your eyes off the cross, 1 inch, you're starting to go to a setback. As soon as you start to remove your eyes from the cross, because my Bible says this, it says, "My eyes are ever on the Lord. Only he can release my feet from the snare. Only he can give me the greatest comeback. Only he can do that." As soon as you take your eyes off the cross and you start to turn, you're going into rebellion. You're moving into rebellion. This is the only place of victory there is. And we need to keep front and center all the time what Jesus did on the cross. His blood set us free. His death set us free. His resurrection combined with that just proved the point that he already did it. But the cross is the key, and it always has been the key, and it will be the key. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, foolishness. But look at the person next to you and say, but to us. Come on, we got to say it, but to us. It is the power of God. Right. It's the power of God. So why would I take my eyes off of that? It's the power of God. It has everything we need there. I'm not even on the talk yet. So let's go to, I want to give you a real-life comeback. It's football season, right? Some people follow Bills. I tell you one thing. I have so distanced myself from professional sports, it's not even funny. I watch, like, what, minimals compared to what I used to watch, right, sweetie? I mean, I just have decreased. I'm not nothing against it, okay? I just, you know what? It could be easily for me to do this when I put too much time into that. I'll just put it that way. Does that make sense to you? When that becomes my all in all, then I'm not looking at that anymore. Because my Bible says this, for those who are risen with Christ, set your affections on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. My affections need to be set on what he wants me to do. So, we understand, though, if many of you were past, weren't even born, some of you. But before we even do that, today, this book, quick lesson, okay? Quick book. Quick lesson, all right? See this book right here? It's all about who? Very good. It's all about who? Jesus, right. It's all about Jesus, right? The Old Testament. The Old Testament is Jesus expected, okay? Excuse me, Jesus predicted. The Gospels is Jesus is presented. Acts, Jesus is preached. Epistles, Jesus explained. Revelation, Jesus expected. Look at the person next to you and say, the book's all about Jesus. It's all about him. Now, expected, Matthew 24:44. Therefore, get ready. The Son of Man is coming. He is coming at a time when you don't expect it. Revelations, Jesus expected. Are you ready? Are we ready? I believe this church is because I know you get sound teaching here. I know you get sound teaching here in this church. So I believe that this pastoral group of men are trying to equip you and make you ready for that time. So greatest comeback, right? Greatest comeback in football history is the Buffalo Bills in 1993 played the Houston Oilers, all right? And Monday night they got crushed 27-3, and they got buried by the Oilers, okay? Crushed for four quarters. Jim Kelly gets hurt. Cornelius Bennett gets hurt. Thurman Thomas gets hurt. All their stars go down. And then they come to Buffalo 6 days later. And the first half was ugly. But the backup quarterback, Frank Reich, had to step in. Okay? You know what? You might think you're a backup and you're on the bench. You're not. You're in God's plan. He was a backup. But you're in his plan to help bring other lives to come back to Christ. Can we play that video, please? Amen. We could end it right there. I mean, that is a live thing. So now, here's the whole thing. At that time, I was working at Jerry Butler Athletes in Action Football Camp, and Frank would come and speak at it. And so we had the inside story of that whole thing that happened. When the Bills had lost, and Frank got the nod, his sister sent him a cassette with Michael English. And he listened to that cassette every time before he went to practice that week. He was listening to it constantly, constantly, constantly. And before, as he walked into the stadium that week, that Sunday, the Lord told him, write it down, Frank. Write the words down. God had already ordained the comeback. He had already ordained that he was going to use Frank Reich to glorify himself through football. It was already said and done in the history books, God's history book. So Frank wrote down all the words to that song. And so because when he got on the podium, Frank said to his agent, he goes, I'd like to read this. He goes, Frank, you just had the greatest comeback in NFL history. You could do whatever you want to do. Right. God positioned that man, and he's positioning to you. He's positioning you. He was a backup, a nobody, who God used to touch many, many people. I don't know what your setback is today, but I'm going to go through the four things that Frank Reich did. Okay, it's the four things that God shared with him that shares with us. But I don't know what your setbacks are. Someone maybe in here may be struggling their job situation. But in his tender mercies, he wants to take your setback and bring it to a comeback. You may have lost a spouse suddenly, like my wife did. But he took that setback and made it a comeback. I don't know. Is your loved one going the wrong way? We're talking about our kids. Not all of them maybe are living for the Lord right now, or friends that aren't living for the Lord. Can I give you a word of encouragement, parents, grandparents? My Bible says this. My wife quotes me this all the time. Philippians 1:6. My confidence is the one who started the good work is faithful to complete that work. That's the Bible. We need to hang on to those scriptures. If God started the work, we have the confidence he's faithful to complete it. What? Turning what? The setback into a comeback. Look at the person next to you and say, Christ turns our setbacks into comebacks. That's what he does. That's what he's great at. That's what he's best at. I don't know if you're dealing with health issues. Maybe someone offended you. Everybody's going through something. But God's going, I got this. I can turn your setback into a comeback. No matter what it is, he has you in the palm of his hands. So let's see. When you're going through this setback, who do you put your trust in? I mean, the song says, you know, my trust is in Christ alone. He put his trust. How do we get God's trust? Here's number one. You got to do what Jesus said. Frank did this before he went into practice. He listened to the song. He was memorizing the song, which is loaded with scripture verse. Look, Matthew 6:23, Jesus said this, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Put him first. The Bible says, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want to strengthen yourself for your comeback? You got to know the word. Get it in you. I mean, greatest comeback in the Bible, Joseph. Hey, you're going to be the man of man, Joseph. Yeah, he ends up in prison. Talk about a setback turned into a comeback. And then loves his brothers through the whole thing. I mean, we have to build that trust. That trust is built through the word. You know the great thing about Jesus? There's no drama with Jesus. He is who he is. The great thing about Jesus, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am there all the time. The greatest thing about Jesus is he doesn't lie. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I do not lie. You can trust me. Put all your eggs and trust in my basket. Look at me because of what I did on the cross. He builds that trust through his word. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. You might not see it right now, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't look to the wisdom of men. We cannot look to the wisdom of the world. But our power and our faith comes from God. We need to look to the cross. We need to look to the one that brings us victory all the time. So that's how we get our trust. We read the word of God. So where do we get our strength from? We need strength. Galatians 6:9 says this. And I feel like I'm yelling at you, but I'm just excited, okay? I'm not yelling at you. I'm trying to encourage you. Galatians 6:9 says this. Do not grow tired or weary of doing what is right or good. For at the proper time or in due season, you will be rewarded. Keep walking towards the cross. Keep walking towards Christ. That word weary, in the Greek, the word weary means that you've given up and you've turned to the satanic way. That's what it means, that you have turned yourself. You turned away from what's right. You're weary. You gave up. You quit. You quit walking toward Christ and go, I give up. And so if you're not walking toward Christ, that means you're walking towards the Antichrist. So Paul encourages, don't grow tired or weary of doing what is right. Keep fighting. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Because where do we get our strength from? I don't know about you, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at the person next to you and say, we can. We still can. Today, tomorrow, do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? We could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Look, and here's what happens. We can look at the world. I mean, it's a mess. It's going to be a mess. We know that. That's why we're here. We're here to tell the world there's a better way. And God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We have the answer. You guys have the answer. Every missionary you support, every time you step out of here, do you know when you step out of here, you carry the power of the Holy Spirit with you? Every time you walk into a room, you bring light and darkness flees. Why? Because you have Christ. That's what my Bible says. John 1, 5. When light comes in, darkness can't comprehend it. It must run. You are the light of the world. So how do we get that comeback? First, we got to develop trust. Number two, you got to know where your strength comes from. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, not your might. His might. Knowing the Word of God. How did Jesus defeat the devil? He didn't have a 24-hour prayer meeting. He just spoke the Word to him. He didn't have a big, long prayer meeting. Look at me. I'm all about prayer, okay? Trust me. I'm not telling you not to pray. But principalities, they bow the name of Jesus Christ. That Word of God, Satan bowed to that Word. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God and serve him only. I will serve him only. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. You have that Word in you. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. And boom, you walk with light and power. So we got to build that strength, right? So trust, we talked about that. Put God first. Strength, where does it come from? It comes from the Lord. Next one, hope. Let's put up some hope. I love the statement. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Keep going. That we, through the patience of the comfort of these scriptures, we have hope. The four words that kept coming through that song was hope, trust, strength, power. Hope, trust, strength, power. But our real hope is, it's in Titus. As we look towards the blessed hope and the glorious coming of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We look towards Him and His coming again. That brings me hope. And hope, this is so cool. I love this part. I love this part the most. Hope will never be disappointed because of the love of God that is poured out into your heart. God wants to pour His love into your heart because there is no fear in love because God is love. Don't be afraid of what's going on out there. Don't be afraid if you're looking at a setback because God's all about the comeback on what Jesus did on the cross. He demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have hope always. Look at the person next to you and say, this is good. This is good. This is the good news. This is the good news. I don't care what your setback is. There is a comeback. Look at me. I go through setbacks daily. What? You're speaking this strong word. You're right. I go through them daily. I start to get anxious over our finances for our ministry. And I start to get nervous. And I start taking my eyes off the Lord. And then you know what I need to do? I need to repent and say, God, forgive me for being anxious because you bring... You see, could you do me a big favor? Mr. Napoli or Mr. LaFont, right? Could you do me a favor and just hold on to that for me? Just stand up there and hold on to that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. LaFont. Very kind of you, okay? Good. Well, don't hold it. Don't hold it that high. See, what happens is when I start to get anxious, I start taking my eyes off the cross, and I start turning this way like, okay, how could I do this? What, you know, maybe I need a better brochure. Really? We do need a classy brochure. We do need to set the example and excellence of Christ with everything we do, but that's not my answer. My answer still comes back to this. When I start complaining, That's because I'm looking at this and not looking at that. Complaining, you want to remove complaining? Well, complaining when you repent and you turn, all right, from here to here, the complaining starts to become joy. I become thankful for what my Savior did for me. When I start to doubt because I'm looking this way and I repent, look at the person and say, actually, repentance is a good thing. When I turn and change my thinking, right? Okay, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? That's repentance. So when I start to get doubt and I turn from that, from here, I get faith. When I have despair here and I turn, I get hope. When I got religion, I'm coming here because I think I have to, and then I repent of my religion and I turn this way, I get relationship. I get an abundant life with Jesus Christ. It's all about your eyes turning here. But as soon as we start to turn away and we start turning in this direction, we're in rebellion. We need to repent of that. So I start every day with repent. Lord, forgive me for my attitude. Because my attitude should be an attitude of gratitude. And the Lord wants us to. In 2 Timothy, he granted us the gift of repentance. It's a gift. So whatever your setback is, we can turn it to a comeback if we keep our eyes on him. If that makes sense, just kind of like nod your head. Amen. And I know many of you are doing that. I just encourage you. We are not the tail. We are the head. We are supposed to be on top so that we can lead. You know, I'm so thankful I'm in a church that no gives the Bible. Because if you're not getting the Bible, then what are you getting? You see, I go out and they call me a motivational speaker. I don't like that because I'm giving them truths because the world's lying to them. And that's what happens, okay? We're buying the lie that's coming at us consistently everywhere. TV, social media, your phone. It's lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. Unless you're listening to a good Christian preacher. Okay, I get that. I get that. So we're being inundated with lies. And so we need to turn so that we can be set free. You see, repentance sets you free. Free. God wants you to be free. Why? Because if you embrace the truth, my Bible says that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I don't know if that's good news. I get excited for that. And I wish I could stay focused here all the time. And so how do I get the power to do that? You've been great. You can set that down now. Thank you so much. Can we clap for him? That was very good. Two greatest comebacks, and I'm going to give you a little quick thing on power. Two greatest comebacks. Number one is your comeback. Okay, whatever that is, it's going to be a comeback. God's going to give you a comeback. I believe that today. How many people want a comeback? You're in something right now and need a comeback. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. You know when you just did that, you just showed humility. You know what humility does? God pours out grace. Just like that. Boom. Well, my Bible says so. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humility brings his awesome grace to the situation. He said, you know what? Turn to me. Seek me with all your heart. Search me with everything you got, and you will find me. And I will be there for you. I'm not against you. I am for you, that the Bible says. So here's where the power comes from, right? Comes from, there's four different power sources. I don't know if you knew that or not. First is the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to wrap this thing up in about 3 minutes. I'm going to give you a chance to respond today, okay? Going to be your chance to respond publicly, personally, and profess Christ. I'm going to give you a chance to respond in a second here. The power, though, there's four sources of power. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Where's our other power source? The Word of God. The Word of God is what? It is living and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. That's power. The sharing of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to first the Jew and then the Greek. Those are three power sources. And the fourth power source that we have to help us to stay that way is the preaching of the cross. Is to them then perish, foolishness. But to us, this is the power of God. Those four power sources help us. You can't do it on your own. But the cool thing is, I don't care where you're at today, Jesus said this, he goes, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you. I chose you to be light. I chose you to be salt. When you go to LA Fitness, you're that salt, you're that light. All right. How does he treat people? I'll get off the machine, man. And you push somebody out of the way. Go, oh, no, go ahead, you can have the machine. I'll wait next turn. No one's doing that, okay? Everybody's in a hurry. My workout, get out of the way. No. When you have the power, you just back off. Go, okay. I'll be nice to that person. No matter where you are, you bring salt, you bring light, you bring the power of God in you. You are hope. Christ has put the hope of glory in you. You bring hope. You bring comebacks to other people. How do we do that? The greatest comeback, though, is 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ suffered once for all, just the just for the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. Come back to me. So I'm going to wrap this up today, because the bottom line is that no matter what we do, we have to turn. And I don't know where your mindset is right now, but let this mindset be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. You see, you got to get to the point, it's not about you, it's no reputation. He's choosing you, you didn't choose him. He loves you, but he chose you. He chose you, man. He chose you. Is that awesome? He chose you, and you're not done. I don't care how much white hair you got. I got it too. We're not done yet. We are not done yet. I don't care how old you are. You are not done. For such a time as this, God has appointed you to be somebody that helps bring comebacks. And if you're going through a setback, today's the day to say, my setback is over. I'm moving forward. I'm going to the cross. It's over. Why? Because Jesus says, it is, yes, it's finished. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? There's times I wrestle to believe that. My wife will tell you no. She'll tell you. My husband wrestles sometimes with that. But I know in the end I got to go to the book. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your head just for a moment. Bottom line is, it's about repentance, that you have to turn, understanding that Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to come back to love you. He wants to help you. He's for you, not against you. John 17:3 says this. It says, now this is eternal life, that you know the only true God in Jesus Christ. And he said, do you know him today? Without a shadow of a doubt. Here's what I want you to do really quickly, because my time is closing fast. If you're someone today who would like to receive Jesus Christ, you've never received them ever before. There's four types of people here today. First one, you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never placed your trust in him. Second group of people here, you might have prayed the prayer but you're really not sure. But God's working and stirring in your heart today for a comeback. Some of you have walked away from God. You've turned your back on him. You're not following with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the last person here, you've been following the Lord, and you go, Lord, I don't understand, and I'm following you, and I just feel like I'm in a setback, and you feel a little bit down, and you're going like, you know what, Lord, please show me yourself today. If I believe he showed you today that he loves you and he cares for you. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you're one of those four places, all I want you to do is slide up your hand. Slide up your hand if you're one of those four places. I see that. Persons that are looking for a comeback because they're in a setback situation, raise your hand. I saw a lot of hands go up earlier. Raise your hand if your person has a setback and you're looking for a comeback. You need to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Good. Excellent. You can put your hands down. Give me your eyes, please. If you're any one of those people, what I want you to do very quickly, everyone stand on their feet right now very quickly. Stand to your feet, everyone, please. If you're any one of those people who raise your hand right now, what I want you to do very quickly is come right down the front here right now. Don't hesitate, don't wait. If you would need a setback, from setback to comeback, if you're someone that needs to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to move quickly right now. Right now, don't hesitate, don't wait. The Lord's been prompting you throughout the whole service. I need a comeback. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't hesitate. Today's the day of salvation. There's somebody moving in the back. There's someone moving here. Yes, it's awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's clap for them. We should be clapping up. This is great. This is great. They're coming. What they're saying is they're changing their mindset right now. They're changing their mindset. Anyone else? Yeah, here comes another lady coming. Someone else. If you're someone right now, whatever it is, you may be a touch in your body physically. Comes a gentleman right down the aisle right there. Eric, we still good? We're going to pray the salvation prayer right here. All right? Let's clap it up for this gentleman right here who's trying to bring it down on the side right here. Bless him. Bless him. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for touching his heart. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. 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 Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. He wants to bring you healing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here's what handles everything. It's pretty simple. Pray this simple prayer after me. Whether you want to come back, whether you want salvation, whether you recommit your life, it all comes to say this after me out loud. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I am a sinner. I need a comeback. I need to change my way of thinking. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to bring the Holy Spirit into me, to wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. I repent. I turn from my way of thinking, and I run to the cross. I run to Christ. I ask Christ to come into my life in a greater way, to bring me my comeback, to bring me my salvation. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, the greatest comeback ever. I thank you, God, for my salvation. I thank you right now for my comeback. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the whole congregation said, amen. Amen.